A chance. We're making sure. Hey, it's Sandra the Plant Lady on the Plant Rant. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everyone.
Beautiful day out there.
It is gorgeous. People will probably be upset, but happy fall, everyone. Let's be realistic.
I was a little dismayed this morning when I got up and it was 48 degrees.
Yeah. It is beautiful out there, though.
Oh, it is. There's
but
no
yeah,
doubt.
We've had some, definitely having some cooler nights. Although we had some heat there. There was some hot, humid days not too long ago.
But
kind of a nice break for working outside, that's for sure.
That's true. You know, though, we did not have an excruciatingly hot summer.
No. Overall, no.
Overall, it was pretty darn good.
It has been really good.
So what's happening in the world of plants? Is this a time of year we should be talking about planting?
Actually, this is a great time of the year for planting.
Okay.
You know, fall is, people are always excited in the spring to get out, but really fall is the time for planting.
Okay.
The plant is putting all of its energy into the roots. It's taking away, you know, the trees. They lose their leaves because all those chemicals are going down.
Yeah.
And they're letting those leaves go and getting ready to rest. And our perennials slow down. They're putting their energy into the root. And so it's just a really a great time. It's nice, comfortable days for working. You can see, now you've had the whole season to observe your garden and see where are there pockets, where do you need more color. Right now, do you have mums blooming? Do you have asters blooming? Do you have some plants with red or orange or yellow foliage starting to happen?
Okay.
So and then you can see what you need for more color for fall, and you can, you know, look back at your garden and think, oh, was there a time in there where really there wasn't a lot going on? Okay, so, and some gardeners take notes, so you could look back and see, okay, in end of June there really wasn't much happening. Start looking into some plants that would be, you know, blooming at that time.
Sounds to me like this is more like, planting, but also planning.
Exactly. Planting and planning, both of those things.
Okay.
And then, you know, I should have spoke with him first. I didn't even think about it, but typically this is Labor Day weekend, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So typically Kent, at Kent's Plants and Wild Bird Store on the corner of 8, where 65 is heading to the south.
Sure.
And north, if you headed, you'd take into Balsam Lake. But he normally does a really good sale over Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
And this might be a great chance if people have not been out there. He's got a gorgeous property, very beautifully landscaped, and you can see a lot of the plants, which is always fun to see things in the ground and how they grow. But he does a good Labor Day weekend sale typically. And like I said, I didn't think to get a hold of him to see if that was happening, but I couldn't imagine that it wouldn't be going on. And I think sometimes it's like a progressive sale.
Oh, okay.
Where, you know, the discount gets bigger each day as the weekend goes on.
Well, you're getting ready for winter too, right?
Right now?
I mean, he is. Well, I mean, he's going to start selling and blah, blah.
For him, yeah. He's getting ready. He blows out a lot of his stuff. You know, and he keeps some things and, you know, overwinters and propagates.
Yeah, I know it's a little bit. I hated to use the word because I usually don't swear on the radio. But
well, now people can be mad at you instead of me. I just said fall. So yeah,
I know.
Really
I'm
so
mad at me. I mean, what the heck?
What's that?
I'm mad at me.
Yeah.
I even said such a thing. Goodness. You know, there's so much color in the fall. How could I possibly think of white?
Well, I love the, you know, I have to say, fall is my absolute favorite. The sky is so blue. It's so nice. Mm. The weather's great. And that's one thing, to live somewhere else, I would have a hard time if I lived, say, in Arizona, where they don't have the change of the season. Speaking of Arizona, so we don't get, I mean, actually what we just discussed is on my list, but I'd like to start the show by answering our listener question.
All right.
Jim and Judy, a few of our listeners that are in Arizona.
Ooh.
They were brave and spent the whole summer there. They are there year-round. So, but they have had some really strange behavior with bees this year. So they've had a few questions for me. So there are two situations. They have two things that have been happening. So they have a bird bath, and there is like a whole hive of bees that hang out around this bird bath, and they are very aggressive and just really protective of that water, making it difficult to, you know, change the water. And, of course, you know, you want the bird bath for the birds.
Yeah.
So I did some looking into this for them, and the recommendation is to create a bee bath for the bees.
A bee bath.
So the recommendation is to get a very shallow plate, or like a plant saucer would work well.
Sure.
So something that's shallow. And then fill that with some pea gravel, and then put the water in there so it's just almost over that.
Ah.
And then, so find a nice, quiet, shady place for the bee bath. Drain the regular bird bath, and then create this new spot for the bee bath. And typically, you can, you know, you can just put it right down on the ground. I keep some shallow saucers around for butterfly baths. They like that too. So, and then leave the bird bath, the regular one, drain that, and then leave that unfilled for a few days and get those bees to find that other spot.
Gotcha.
Then after a few days, move, set up your bird bath again, but probably do it in a new place. So get the bees to the new place, then set up your bird bath a few days later. And if it's still really a problem, I guess there are nuisance wildlife officials that can actually come out and move the hive.
Oh, geez.
Because it sounds like in this situation what Jim and Judy have going on, that it is a whole hive of bees that are using this with the numbers that they shared with me.
Wow. If they're aggressive, did they say if they're the same kind of bee we're used to, or is it one of those aggressive bees?
You know, and I don't know, and I haven't seen, like, a picture of it.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to look into that. But I think, you know, even for Arizona standards, they had a very hot summer.
Yeah, they did.
And everything needs water.
Yeah.
I mean, everything needs water. And so those bees were probably just being very protective of that water source in an area where there isn't, you know, where water is not going to be easy to find.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll work. Create the bee bath, separate the bird bath for a few days, get a new spot for that, and then
I'll be curious
to find out how that works.
Yeah. I had no idea that bees needed a bath.
Well, they need water.
Yeah.
Everything needs, we all need water.
We all need water, yep, absolutely.
And in that heat, so, and in an area where there isn't a lot of ponds, puddles, you know.
Yeah, they don't get a whole lot of rain either.
So, no. They haven't had any rain.
Wow.
They have not had any rain. It has been ridiculously dry down there. When the season came, that should have been rain. There still wasn't rain.
Wow.
So
Wow,
and then they had a windstorm.
That's the hard part of the subtropics, so to speak.
So it's very arid. They're having a hard time.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing that they had, so they were growing also for the birds, sunflowers.
Oh.
And what they were describing was that before the seed would even develop, that like the bees were on the sunflower.
Ooh.
And kind of eating that, so they never got sunflower seeds.
Oh,
now, I wasn't able to find a lot of information on this. I couldn't really find anyone else who had had this experience.
Hmm.
Now, one thing I was reading, that a lot of sunflowers are coming up now for looking pretty, is just, and they're pollenless.
Oh.
So they're not going to create a seed.
Wow.
another recommendation, if you're trying to protect the seeds, you know, even for yourself or something, like, say, before the birds even get them, which I think with Jim and Judy, they're wanting the birds to get to them.
Sure.
But you can put, like, an onion bag or a nylon around that seed, around that flower head.
Really?
To protect the seeds until they can mature.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if either of those things would help or if they're wound up with pollenless sunflowers, and maybe that's why there wasn't anything. But as I was researching this, I found out some interesting information as far as the health benefits of sunflower pollen to bees.
Oh.
So apparently, sunflower pollen can reduce infections of some bees from two widespread parasites, and some research has linked both of these types of parasites with some of that, with slower colony growth and a greater mortality rate. So there's no other pollen that has the same effect on the bees as the sunflower pollen.
How about that?
So that sunflower is super important, and typically your bees would be there pollinating it, and you would wind up with the seeds, and it would be a, you know, complete cycle. So I'm not really sure what's going on with those bees and that lack of seed, but it was very interesting. However, the sunflowers, they're low in protein and some amino acids, so the bees really need a wide range of plants to feed on. They do best with the variety of flowers. You know, this sunflower is a supplement to the diet. It's not meant to be the main course, but has some really, really important properties that are super beneficial to the bees. So I just thought that was so
very interesting.
And I love the sunflowers and watching the bees on them.
So
we had a couple volunteer sunflowers at our place when you could barely get in our front door. They got so big, but it's been so fun. And all the you walk out the door and a flock of goldfinches is flying off because they're hanging out in there. And
so I guess what you're saying is that people, if they're going to get sunflower seeds, better check and make sure they're not the pollenless kind.
Right, and the pollenless, I can see where the pollenless for the floral industry would be important, because we did cut some and bring them in, and man, they're messy. I mean, that pollen's all over the place. So if you're wanting them for a cut flower, I could see where pollenless. But as far as, like, growing them outdoors, the benefit for the bees, the benefit for the birds, then you definitely want the seeds.
Yeah, forget the pollenless. Just go ahead and get the seeds. Besides, isn't pollenless, isn't that just kind of messing around with Mother Nature?
Yes. Yes, and there's a lot of that with some ornamentals. You know, they've made a lot of annuals now that are, you know, they can't produce seed.
Yeah.
And then, but because of that, then you don't need to do the deadheading and thing, because usually with an annual, it produces seed. It thinks it's lived its life cycle. So if you can, so you have to keep picking the dead heads off, so that it doesn't go to seed. Well, if you have something that doesn't seed, it's going to keep flowering.
But you know, there's something about nature that's better than adjusting things the way we'd like it.
Although, you know, some of these things, like look at our yummy Honeycrisp apple and things like that, where you control the cross between plants and get something new and improved with fruits and things like that.
People
like to play with them. And speaking of apples,
So
Baker Orchard will be opening this weekend. And folks, I just want people to be aware that they have made some pretty extreme changes for this season as a result of COVID. So typically Baker Orchard has an art gallery in their farmhouse, and they've got this 80-acre property, and they encourage people to come and bring a picnic and hang out and wander around and enjoy the campfire and do all these things. That will not be happening this year. There will be no gallery. There will be no fall festival. And as a matter of fact, they are offering apple sales only on Saturday and Sundays, starting this weekend, and that usually goes, you know, through October.
Sure.
They are only doing a drive-through service, and I think they will have their fresh-pressed, crafted, hand-crafted cider as well.
Oh, sure.
But so if people are familiar, the Baker Orchard is right on 35. As you go into Century, it's on the southeast corner where of Racetrack Road and 35, so about 3 miles north of Highway 8.
Okay.
And they're setting up, they own the farm across Racetrack Road on the north.
Oh.
West or northeast corner.
Yeah.
As well. And so my understanding how they're going to do it is you're going to go and to that farm just to the north of the orchard and do a drive-through.
Awesome.
You're going to come in. They will be wearing masks. They are recommending. They would appreciate if people coming also had a mask on. They're asking people to stay in their car, let them know, you know, what their order is, and then they will, you know, fill that. So it's going to be a very different feel, but it's just what they're comfortable with for protecting their staff and their elders and their own family. And
sure.
But the apples there, you know, they have really, really good apples.
Yes.
So hopefully that'll work for folks. And I'm not sure, you know, how the signage is going to be. I think they probably were doing it that way because with the way the orchard's set up, I mean, if people pull in and just start parking, it's going to be hard to control the traffic.
Yeah, yeah. But Sandra, didn't you do some work there last year during
this? I've worked for the Baker Orchard for, I think this would be this year, like my 15th
wow.
season
no kidding.
With them. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. Wow. But everything has changed because of this COVID thing, hasn't it?
A lot has. And I don't want to get all stuck on that.
No,
but
no.
Just to let people know what to expect, because typically they were open Friday, Saturday, Sunday and had the gallery and would, like
yeah,
I said, encourage
yeah.
a lot of hanging out. And this year, you know, that it's just going to be set up different. And then Glenna Farms, I tried to get a hold of Rick at Glenna Farms to see what they were doing with their pumpkins, which typically they don't start the pumpkin patch until like that third weekend in September anyway.
Sure.
But my timing was off trying to connect with Rick. So I will let people know in October.
Sure.
If he's made some changes or what's happening with them. I know this spring they were, I think their Maple Fest got canceled, which is always a really nice time.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's canceled a lot of stuff, but most of these folks, like Baker's, are coming up with an alternative way to do it. And he probably
is creative.
Too. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, there's something good about that too, because it does bring out creativity in people who don't think they're creative.
Well, right. I think a lot of people have, you know, they think to be creative, you have to create this work of art. Or
yeah.
Something. Well,
yeah.
You can be creative with food. You can be creative in the garden. You can
yep.
be
yep.
creative by figuring out you're going to have a drive-through orchard instead of
yeah. Yeah.
having
we,
come, so.
In order to enjoy our life, we've got to be pretty creative of how we're going to get along in this world with all the restrictions there are, and we do it.
Yes.
So do you have any other questions, or was just the Arizona question?
So that was the questions for this month. I did have a plant ID, which I have not had from Dawn in Melrose, and I need to still look into that. She had sent me a picture. And it wasn't something I recognized right off, which I always love. I love IDing things, and it is fun to find new things. So I will need to do some research on that. And I can respond to her on an email and then, you know, talk about it next next month, too. So I really want to just kind of talk. We touched base already on fall being a good time for planting. You know, it's nice with the cooler temperatures, but the soil's still...
Yeah,
warm,
yeah.
which is important. It's a great time right now for transplanting peonies and iris. With those peonies, make sure those eyes are about 1 to 2 inches below the soil. If you plant them too deep, they're not going to bloom. I moved one earlier in the season for that reason. It didn't really like it. I changed the depth quite a bit, but I wanted it, so I just did it. But now would be the ideal time. I know that was a question from Bob. Bob Richter a couple months ago. And
okay.
So, Bob, if you're listening today, I'm reminding you. I told you to put it on the calendar, but now's the time to get out there and take care of those peonies. But, yeah, it's a great time for digging and dividing.
Yeah.
You can stop. This is a tough one. So, you know, we keep deadheading our perennials. Now is the time to decide what things you want to leave. You know, your coneflower, so you have food for the birds during the winter and this late fall. However, if there's things you don't want seeding out, I have an ornamental allium or ornamental onion chive type plant.
Oh.
And I have got to keep an eye on that because I've got, it looks beautiful right now because it's spread out everywhere and it's got these beautiful white flowers and there's tons of them, but I don't want them to completely take over. And even my cone, I had tons of new coneflower this year that have seeded out. So that's things to keep in mind.
Yeah.
It's kind of that toss-up between do you want to let things go? Do you want to leave things for the bird? I like that structure in the winter, leaving your sedums and the coneflowers and those nice heads and the snow sits on them. And
it looks good and the birds are active.
And the birds like it.
Yeah.
But if there's things that are seeding out too much or that you don't want spreading out, now is the time to deadhead those things. Otherwise, like your roses, I would quit trimming those, let those rose hips start to ripen up. Those can be beautiful for, you know, some winter interest.
Sure.
The astilbes look nice, leaving those. And then clean up what needs it. And if you have anything that had any disease issues or anything, don't put that stuff in your compost pile. You want to throw it on the campfire or put it in the garbage so that you're not overwintering
disease,
fungal diseases if you had some issues or, you know, if you had some insect things and that. So you want to get some of that stuff out of there.
If it's a good time now for planting and all that sort of stuff, is it a good time for pruning? Let's say you got brush or limbs you want to take off or whatever. Is this a time or a spring better?
Oh, Bob, you're so good. You just lead me right into what I already have written down. I don't even know why I plan ahead. You lead me right into it anyway. So with pruning, you really, for your woody material, your trees and shrubs, I would only be pruning damaged or pest-infested branches at this time.
Okay.
You don't want to encourage new growth, which is what cutting's going to do.
Okay.
So if you do have some damaged branches or a insect web or something, you can trim those things out.
Okay.
And the other things to remember right now, a little less water. You know, our days are getting shorter. You're going to want to stop fertilizing now.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to fertilize outside. Your house plants, you're going to either want to stop or cut way back because they're shutting down. And so your house plants, now is going to be the time if there's house plants outside, especially with these cooler nights, it's going to be time to start bringing those things in.
Sure.
It's a good idea if you have room or can make it work to get a separate space ready. Like what I'll probably do, I have a front porch, which won't work for all winter, but it'll work for now to get them in, get them kind of acclimated to less light.
Yeah.
You know, those leaves that are outside now are used to this direct sun. You get them inside, the light's going to be a little different. And you want to keep them separate from the rest of your houseplants for a little while just to make sure you're not bringing in any insects.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you have something, you can use just an insecticidal soap and get things cleaned up. I typically don't put anything on mine. I usually just bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had good luck with that. I haven't had problems. But it's not a bad idea to keep them in a separate space. And then you can get a move back in the general population with your other plants once you make sure that they're not having any kind of insect problems. And again, you know, stop fertilizing. Less light's going to mean less growth, so they're not going to need the nutrients like they do during the summer. If you had an amaryllis bulb that you brought outside, it's time to get that brought in as well. So keep those house plants ready and bring those in. I'm checking the time here. We got a little bit. And then let's see. I wanted to talk about, I've got a couple more things. Some great plants for fall color, speaking of trees and shrubs, American cranberry bush, burning bush, chokeberries, cotoneaster, pretty much all the viburnums. American cranberry bush is a type, but there's many others that all have really nice fall color. Serviceberry, some of the spireas even. They're really a kind of an overused shrub, but there are some really nice fall colors on a lot of the spirea. Sumac, of course, dogwood, just the roses even with some yellow fall color. So there's some great, great trees and shrubs. So if you find that you need some color in your landscape and you have some room for some of these shrubs, it's a good time. And then I, you know, last month we talked about the ghost pipe, that plant without the chlorophyll.
Yeah.
A few days after the show, we went hiking at those balsam branch trails.
Uh-huh.
The ghost pipe was all over in there. So I haven't been there in a while, but if people feel like getting out to take a hike, it might be worth looking. It was very mosquito-y when we were there, so hopefully that's gotten better now with some cooler days.
Well, I was going to say, when it gets a little cooler, they get a little less active.
And we haven't had as much moisture as we were.
No, that's true.
And then I was, one thing I did get to research, which I was excited about, is I found, I got to learn about a new insect. So I noticed it earlier in the season on the milkweed. It was a little fuzzy caterpillar, kind of yellow and black and really, really, really fuzzy. And then yesterday on a walk, I saw there was some milkweed that it was just covered with these things. And I thought, I've got to find out what this thing is. So I looked it up, and it is the milkweed tussock moth. And it is one of our native insects. So it, you know, people don't panic about the monarch butterfly. They've been living together and sharing the milkweed for a long time. It is a native.
Okay.
And then it just, it feeds on its whole life cycle for the most part. The eggs are laid. They're very similar to the monarch. The eggs are laid. They hatch. And then the larva goes through several different stages before it becomes this really super fuzzy guy.
Uh-huh.
And then they pupate. They kind of, and they may move to another spot at this point, but they pupate in a little small kind of gray felted cocoon, and they stay there until spring. And then a moth comes out in early summer, and the moth is, it's not super fancy. It's a little bit smaller, and it's gray, and then it kind of has like a yellow abdomen.
Oh. Okay.
And then that will lay the eggs on the milkweed, and then that starts all over. So it was just fun to, and I don't remember seeing them in the past. This year I just noticed them a lot, and I finally thought, I've got to look this.
Maybe Sandra, you're just paying more attention now. You got more time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I have been a little busier. It's been nice. It's hop season right now, and so I did get to help with some hop harvesting. So that's been good. Although that'll be, and you know, it's like many things with agriculture. Timing is everything.
Down.
When they're ready, it's time.
Yeah.
So then it all happens fast, and then that's the end of that. But.
So do you have a finale here that you want to talk about? We got about a minute.
No, I just, thanks everyone for listening. You know what we've been very negligent on lately is giving out the email address.
Exactly.
So I think we need to really make sure to do that. So plantrant93.1@gmail.com. So plantrant93.1@gmail.com. So please feel free to send any questions. If you're not a computer person, you can write a letter or postcard, 130 Riverside Boulevard in Amory, and just put attention Sandra or attention Plant Rant, and they will make sure I get the message. And you can always, you know, if you really need to, you can call the station and they'll get a hold of me and I can get in touch with you. So, I just thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk in October, and hopefully we just have a really nice, long, beautiful fall.
I hope so. Thanks
and
a
then,
lot,
yeah,
Sandra.
If you can, if you need some plants, there's Abrahamson's, I'm sure, is still fully loaded, and
sure.
Kent will have a sale, and, you know, Dragonfly's up and running, so lots of, we're just so blessed. We have such great local businesses that we can support.
And a great place to live to raise them.
Yes, right on.
Thanks a lot, Sandra.
Thank you, Bob.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Sandra the Plant Lady, our guest this morning, and that brings us to 9:30. Oh, by the way, the program is The Plant Rant.